welcome to another edition of Visions. The calendar has rolled over and we're into a new brand year. When we think of a new year, we think of new beginnings or adjusting some of the things we've done in the past so that we can have a brighter, lovelier, more wonderful year. So this year, that's what we will aim to do through Visions and whatever else we are engaged in. I will start this episode with a clip from a good friend of mine who's now residing in the USA. Nadira Broom has blossomed and really demonstrated and how we can build confidence as we think of our own image. So take a listen.
Thank you, Erica. I sound good. Thank you. If I could afford to pay you, you'd be my publicist. But, okay. I could say a lot of things about my life growing up, but the one thing that always stands out is that I never felt beautiful. I was the middle child, the only one of the three who was born with a connective tissue disorder. So I quickly learned that I was the different one. My condition made me taller than other kids my age. No kidding, right? No, I know that in every bunch of kids, there's the early bloomer, you know, the one that is more physically developed early on. So let me put this in perspective. By the time I was 8, I was 5'7". By the time I was 10, I was 5'9". To top it all off, I was really skinny. Again, real shocker, right? And I wore glasses that could give Steve Urkel some serious competition. That really wasn't a good look for a girl, but back then we didn't have the small frames that are around these days, so I had to take what I could get. Now, it made me stand out, obviously, and it made for some awkward moments. I was teased so often that I was shocked when I wasn't teased, and boys were meaner to me than girls were most of the time. I remember a few incidents that stood out and made me feel hideous. The summer I turned 11, I was about to start a new school in September. So I went on a joint trip to a neighboring Caribbean island with my old school. And while I was there, two older boys told me one night that I would never make any friends at my new school because of how I looked. And then they laughed at me. I pretended to shrug it off like I didn't care, but it really, really hurt. Then there were the three older boys when I got to secondary school who would surround me every morning while I waited for my classroom doors to open. And they would tell me just how ugly I was for any and everybody to hear, and nobody said or did anything. And of course, there was the girl in my sister's class who said if she had a sister who looked like me, she would never tell anybody. She even knew me, furthermore, was related to me. All of these things, you know, they shaped my early view of myself and my body. And I used to walk around all hunched over, feeling, you know, looking as defeated as I felt. I couldn't stand to look at myself in the mirror, and I hated the way I looked in pictures. I thought the person that was looking back at me was not attractive at all. I spent so much of that time wishing that I was shorter and prettier, even light-skinned. I couldn't figure out how to get any of those things done. And I had to live with myself. And it just made things so messed up. I was so messed up that even later on, when guys did start to notice me, I told myself it wasn't real. They had to be out for something. Still, I went on a few dates here and there, yeah. And I didn't really have, well, I had my first real adult relationship when I was 26. He told me I was beautiful. He also told me he was faithful. Then we could pretty much guess how that went. So then I had a whole host of other issues to deal with from that one. I found pictures of one of the women he cheated on me with on one of his devices. Gotta love those devices. And she was short and light-skinned. And I compared them to my pictures, and I remember crying that night because all my old insecurities just resurfaced with a vengeance. I mean, I'd forgiven him for the one time I knew about that he cheated on me, and I'd taken him back, but this time was different. And that difference was my 5-month-old daughter. I kept thinking about her and what I would be teaching her by staying in this situation. And quite frankly, if a man had treated her the way her father treated me, I wouldn't expect her to take it. So yeah, I broke up with him, but the one thing I remember thinking was that I really hated my pictures. So fast forward to a few months later, I woke up one morning to a total blur. I'd lost the sight in my left eye to retinal detachment and glaucoma several years earlier, but I still had my trusty right eye. Even though I had surgery on that, I could still see really, really well. Well, all of that changed on the morning of August 13th, 2010. Every blind person will always remember the day that it happened. When my eye pressure skyrocketed to 57, normal range is like 8, maybe 10 to like 16. So you can imagine it just skyrocketed. I had 3 bad surgeries in 2 months, during one of which the anesthesia wore off. When I told the surgeon, he told me that he'd used all the freezing eye drops that he had and I'd have to bear with it until he was finished. I think that's when I started to realize how badly this was gonna turn out. When I got back to the ward, the head nurse who'd been with me in the operating theater told the other nurses, get her some morphine stat, and told them what had happened. After several painful days, 9 months of badly reduced vision and scarring because of all this, and a year I spent in Canada with a specialist trying to save my sight, I finally had to accept that nothing could be done. I was going to be blind for the rest of my life. I can't tell you what it's like to be hit with that realization. While I was on the phone with my mother, I was in Canada and she was back in Barbados, she said to me, I pray they can do something for you, because you're nothing without your sight. I didn't want or need to hear that at that moment, but it stuck with me, because that was how I felt, like nothing. I had spent so much time griping about how my pictures look. Know what I wouldn't have given to be able to see those same pictures or to be able to see anything. Honestly, I didn't think there could be anything worse than feeling ugly, like I always had, but I was wrong, because feeling worthless is a lot worse. This is such an image-based world. And I don't need to tell anybody here that blind women aren't exactly considered a hot commodity in the eyes of the world. I used to lie around looking like I don't know what. The word hasn't even been invented. I couldn't see the point in caring about how I look. Nobody treated me like a person anymore anyway. I mean, people started talking about me in the third person even when they were right in front of me, as if I couldn't hear. Or what about the people who were so uncomfortable to be around me that they couldn't even look at me or sit close to me for fear of catching the blindness? Yeah, somebody called the CDC and let them know about the new threat out there. And I better not sneeze. Be careful. It made me feel horrible. On the rare occasion that I would go shopping with a friend, the store attendants would act all surprised if I expressed interest in buying something. Why on earth would a blind person want to buy clothes? It baffles the mind, right? My best friend, bless her heart, was the one person besides my daughter who never let me forget who I was. She kept encouraging me to not let myself go. Keep up with fashion, Adira. She told me I was blind, not dead. And when I started to think about it, right, even dead people get dressed up, right? So, why not? As for my daughter, she just wanted the hands that were feeding her from the beginning to keep right on feeding her. She couldn't care less that I was blind. She was 2.5 when I came back from Canada, and when she realized that I couldn't see, she started taking my hands and putting them on everything, including the pictures she drew, as if my hands could see them. She still does that to this day, so. But yeah, she took my hands and put them on the pots and on the stove too, and it didn't take me long to get the hint. She didn't want anybody to replace me in that regard, and I imagine if she could have written me a note back then, it would have gone something like, "Dear blind lady, I'm sorry you can't see, and I'm sorry you're sad. I feel sad sometimes too, but patience isn't my strong suit right now. So please get over yourself and get back to being my mother / chef. P.S. I haven't had shepherd's pie in a long time." She tells me those things. So yeah, it was a light bulb moment for me though. I spent so much of my life hating my body and feeling ugly and awkward and different. Now I had to start all over again. So I decided to do things differently. I started telling myself that I was attractive. Yeah, I still had a lot of negativity around me, but I started to tell myself that I was attractive. I started to stick. I started to appreciate myself more. I mean, I am still a person. I started to appreciate my height. I mean, I'm tall, yes. Live with it. I'm good. I started to appreciate the fact that I have long fingers and was teased. You know, I was teased at school. They call me witch fingers. They come in handy these days. Thank you. And it really helped that, you know, I did have the encouragement of my daughter. As I said, I'm my best friend. I started to say, well, okay, I can't see, but there are other things that I can do, you know. I think I have a pretty good figure. I think I look okay. And thank you. And even though I can't see my smile, I appreciate it so much more now than I ever did when I could see. I like to change my hairstyle on a whim too. And there's a backstory to that. So due to an unfortunate but thankfully temporary scalp issue, I had to cut off my daughter's hair. I knew she would feel self-conscious about that, but I didn't want her to have all the self-image and self-esteem issues that I had, so I decided not to let her go it alone. In true mommy fashion, I cut my own hair off. And that was an experience. But it taught her and me that we could rock whatever style we want to. And I still do. You know how they always say, well, there's an app for everything? Well, I have a saying in my life, there's a wig for everything. Yeah, you gotta try to find the positive in everything. I mean, I used to wanna stop traffic. I stop traffic now. You know? Maybe not in the way I hope, and if you want to nitpick, yeah, it might be because of my cane, but it doesn't stop me from feeling like a supermodel when I'm crossing the street. You know? Yeah. I got my soundtrack playing in my mind and everything, walking across the street, yeah. All hail the queen, you know? You gotta stop. But yeah, who says that a blind person can't be fashionable or stylish? It's just my eyes don't work. They just don't work. But you know what? I don't physically see people, but I see auras. So I don't judge you on your size or your color or your body art or your scars or the fact that you walk with a limp. I couldn't care less, and that's the truth. Yeah, it took me a while, but isn't it funny that it took losing my sight for me to really see myself? I mean, maybe if we could try to see each other that way, without the physical stuff getting in front of us and blocking our true vision, maybe we see things differently. You might find out that that person you summed up with your physical eyes at first glance isn't who you thought they were. And I like to think that now that you heard me talk a little bit, maybe your original impression of blind people might be a little different. But I'm going to end off by introducing myself, how I feel about myself now. So, hi, I'm Nadira. I'm blind, and I'm still fabulous.
Now, Nadira has really touched so many points that are critical to our building of a good self-image and confidence. Whether we are young, middle age, or older, confidence is pivotal to our existence. How can we build confidence? How can we build that feeling from inside where we are strong in our beliefs, strong about who we are, strong about what we want to do and achieve? By, first of all, talking to ourselves. We need to talk to ourselves regularly with positive messages. Not just positive messages, but practical solutions as well. Oftentimes, we hear that Barbadians are not results-oriented. We're not about finding solutions. But we know otherwise, particularly as individuals with disabilities and as families who have members with disabilities. Let's take some steps in building our own confidence and setting ourselves some goals this year to achieve many things, have wonderful, terrific experiences, and of course, engage in some fabulous conversations with people all around. When we think of children, particularly children with disabilities, how do we help to instill confidence in them? That is, we can start by encouraging them to do things and not become frustrated and impatient with them when we ask them to maybe clean a table, you know, wipe down the table. You show them how to do it, you model it for them, you demonstrate it, and you allow them to do it. The first time they may not get it right, they might leave some items or crumbs on the table, but then you remind them and show them how to do it again and again until they're able to do it confidently. We talk to them and we encourage them to spend time in doing various tasks, but making sure that the tasks are done well. We teach children, we have to teach our children how to do things. While we might say children, this also extends to the teenagers, the young adults that we are continually mentoring and encouraging young people to do what is necessary and to do it with excellence. Again, confidence can be built by exposing our children to not just our educational system, the institutions where they can go to school and learn, but we also need to socialize them. And we should be able, even in these difficult times, to at least bring the children, take the children into Bridgetown once a month or once every 2 months, and allow them to just look around, learn the capital of Barbados, and really get to learn about the central bank and how tall it is and what functions takes place in the central bank, and Cave Shepherd and other landmark points in our city. Again, we can help to socialize the children by taking them out to other social functions. They might be at school with children, or they may be going to church with other children, and there may be a little party, a birthday party, a tour to somewhere. Again, confidence and good citizenship can be built through exposing our children to various social activities and, of course, teaching them the social graces, how to be polite, how to say please, excuse me, thank you. These are some of the basic courtesies that we can teach our children to extend to other family members and persons outside of the home. Of course, confidence is also built through reading, through watching various programs, television programs or YouTube programs that are talking and guiding children, young adults, and older people how to model good behavior, how to model productivity, how to model excellence in whatever the individual does. And as we talk about confidence, confidence also comes to the fore as we experience difficult times, you know, difficult situations, difficult people. We must remind ourselves that we are who we are, a brilliant, confident, wonderful person. And the other situation or individual that may be frustrating us should not bring us down to the point that we begin to lose ourselves and not understand what confidence means for us to move forward and to do what is right and what is necessary. One person who demonstrated confidence is the late Carson Small. And today I want to share a clip, which I had shared previously, about the life of the late Carson Small. So take a listen.
In the Bible, John 13 tells us of the service that we can render unto God through serving our fellow man. And as a young boy, Carson Small dedicated his life and service to doing God's work through serving his fellow human beings. He was passionate about serving God after joining the Salvation Army, where he advanced to the rank of Lance Corporal. In 1974, Carson started work at Barbados Radio Fusion Services Limited as a broadcaster and was heard regularly as Uncle George, along with Granny, on the children's party. He was a presenter of a community program called Far and Wide, and later host of a disability show, Visions. His work continued in the community. He visited many shut-in citizens, doing several kind deeds, contributing food, clothing, and other necessary items to the poor and vulnerable. In 1983, he joined with Lucina Skeet to form the Barbados National Organization of the Disabled, BARNOD. He influenced hundreds of parents and citizens with disabilities to be confident, standing up and speaking out for their rights. Carson was the public relations officer for 10 years and represented the disabled in Barbados at the United Nations in the early 1990s and at other local, regional, and international conferences. He later founded the Carson Small Foundation. He was involved with the Whole Town Festival, the Lions Club, and used his rich baritone voice to sing gospel music with the Love Circle Band and toured the United States and the United Kingdom.
Again, you would have heard about Carson Small and some of the challenges he experienced while growing up and even in young adult life. But Carson allowed his confidence, his faith, to bring him through all those challenging experiences. And it's important that we surround our children and ourselves with like-minded people who would be willing to encourage us when times get tough, who would be willing to support us when we are really indecisive and uncertain as to how to proceed. Like-minded people will help us to find solutions and look to improving ourselves. And this is where confidence and a positive self-image will start to grow and continue to grow as we grow older as well. And of course, mature. Confidence, as I said, is essential to living a good quality life. And if we want to really enjoy the beauty of life, the beautiful people around us, and of course, the beautiful country that we live in, it means that we must work on ourselves, having that image, as the late, the Right Honorable Errol Walton Barrow said, we must have that positive self-image, not only as an individual, but as a people, Barbadians, proud and industrious Barbadians. And this year, through this radio program, we will work at continuing to build a positive self-image for individuals and the people of this land, this beautiful, beautiful Barbados. Just remember, think of yourself as a beautiful human being, and think of me and the other persons around as beautiful human beings. And if we start to think like this on a more regular basis, our attitudes towards ourselves and towards others will change. So as I said, we're going to work on this throughout the year. We'll have some exciting, wonderful programs where we can share lots of information. And of course, there will be some entertaining moments as I share with you about some of the episodes that happen to us as individuals who have disabilities. And we laugh at ourselves as well. So stay tuned. And remember, we want to see you more active this year, more engaged in the conversations around disability. So until next week, when I welcome your presence, when I welcome your company, do take wonderful care of yourself. Remember, you can contact me at 1-246-269-9660 or via Starcom Network at 1-246-430-7300. And of course, let's use the internet. You can check me out via vob929.com. On the podcast link, scroll down, you'll find Visions Radio Program, and you can listen to this and past episodes. And of course, you can write me at visionsbarbados@gmail.com. That's visionsbarbados@gmail.com.